Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Exodus Church, located in Belmont, North Carolina. For more information about our church and the many ways you can be involved, please go to our website at theexoduschurch.org or email us at info@theexoduschurch.org.
Now, if you'll take your Bible and turn to two places, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, and then we're also going to be in Ezekiel 34. That's in the Old Testament between Lamentations and Daniel. And if that doesn't help you, you have a table of contents in the beginning of your Bible. There is no shame in using that, okay? So Ezekiel 34, Matthew chapter 9. While you're turning there, I mentioned last week that I grew up in Mississippi, and one of my favorite memories from this time of year, and you know what I'm talking about, the time of year when you walk out in the morning and it feels kind of crisp and cool, and there's not a, kind of like this morning, you know. One of my favorite memories from this time of year growing up there is driving down country roads and seeing just vast fields that were ready for harvest. There was a couple of things that grew close to where I grew up. One was pumpkins, actually. And you would drive down this country road and just see this field full of little orange dots waiting on a farmer to come and harvest those. Of course, we also grew cotton there, and there, you just drive down fields and it would be just covered in white, looking like snow. And every time I read our passage today, that's what goes through my mind. When Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, every time I read that, I think about driving past those fields and seeing the harvest ready to be brought in. This harvest waiting out in plain sight, and the urgency of getting those crops at the right time before they were ruined. And I think about our day today and just the harvest that's around us, the opportunity we have, and the urgency that we have to not just see the opportunity around us, but also participate in what God has called us to do. And so my hope today is that we would not just see the opportunity, not just see that the harvest is plentiful, but that we would then be one of the laborers. That's my hope. So I'm going to read Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38, and then I'll pray and we'll jump into God's word. It says, "And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of gathering today. Jesus, thank you that we get to see here in this passage some of your heart for people, that we get to see some of your heart for this opportunity of this plentiful harvest. We get to see something of your care and concern for people who are harassed and helpless, people who are weary and feel forgotten. And so, Lord, I pray that regardless of whether we come into this space feeling weary and forgotten or feeling excited about our opportunity that we get to play in your harvest, Lord, wherever we are in those categories, I pray that when we leave here, we would know you better, that we would know you as our shepherd, that we would know you as Lord of the harvest, that we would know you, Jesus. So in order to do that, Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see wonderful things in your word, that you give us ears to hear wonderful things from your word, and that you would give us hearts that will receive from your word today so that we might obey you and follow you and submit to you as Lord of our lives. And so we pray all this in Christ's name, amen. So we're going to see three things today, okay? We're going to see our king's power. We're going to see our king's perspective. And then we're going to see our king's prayer. We're going to start with our king's power. Now, this passage, verses 35 to 38, is a type of transition paragraph. And Matthew uses these throughout his gospel, that there'll be some things that happen leading up to, the confidence monitor says, I have 7 days to preach. So just so you know, all right? So this is a transition paragraph, okay? Stuff has happened leading up to this point, and then this is a transition paragraph leading to what's about to happen. And what's been going on in Matthew 8 and 9 is that we've seen our king's power to the disciples. They've seen him heal and do amazing things. And now in chapters 10, 11, and 12, we're going to see our king's power displayed primarily through the disciples. They're going to see his power in other ways. But what this paragraph does is kind of serve as a transition from what Jesus has done has displayed to them, and now what Jesus is going to display through them. And what we're going to see first is his power that is displayed in two ways. Look at verse 35. It says, And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. And so Matthew reminds us that our king's power has been displayed in a couple of ways. First, in his teaching and proclaiming. Now, those two words have a little bit of a different communication style. Teaching is more more conversational. So Jesus in the synagogue is sitting with a group of men. They've read the Old Testament. They're discussing it. Think like you're discussing with a friend at a coffee shop. Or maybe you're talking with your neighbor on a walk. It's more conversational. That's kind of the idea of what Jesus is doing there. But he's also proclaiming, and that has the idea of heralding a message. And so you're not going to stand up in a coffee shop and herald to your friend. This is more like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, heralding the good news. And now, in spite of the difference in communication style, the content is the same. Look at that in verse 35. Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Now, it's really interesting that Jesus goes about teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The first thing that's interesting is that this is gospel. So this is not good advice. This is good news. Jesus is announcing a victory that has happened. The king is breaking into the world to establish his kingdom here. And there's this announcement of the gospel. So Jesus doesn't come to give us five ways to be better. He gives us one way to be saved. That's gospel. And so he's announcing not just this good news, but it's the gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel is incredibly offensive today. The gospel of the kingdom is incredibly offensive because the first point of the gospel of the kingdom is this: there's a king. And it's not me. There is a king, and I am not him. Now, in our culture, we have been told that we are our king. We get to decide what we do, who we are, what we intend to do, and what we think is right and wrong. The gospel of the kingdom says, no, there's a king, and it's not me. But it also tells us that this king loved us so much that he came to live, die, and rise again, so that all those kings, all of us, that tried to establish our own kingdom might be forgiven and brought into his. He didn't come to destroy his enemies. He came to save his children, to make us part of his kingdom. And so this call of the gospel of the kingdom is to repent. Repent of thinking you're in charge of your life. Repent of thinking you get to make the rules everywhere. Repent of thinking that you are king and surrender to the one and only king. This is the good news Jesus came to proclaim. Not five ways to be better, but one way to be saved. And the way to be saved is just to surrender to the one and only king. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And people respond. We see throughout Matthew, people respond in faith, trusting him, surrendering their lives to him. And then we see some people reject him. And their response to him is, I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to surrender to you. In fact, I'm going to work against you because I don't want to surrender to you. And so one of the ways we see our king's power displayed is in his teaching and proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom. The second way we see his power displayed is at the end of that verse, and healing every disease and every affliction. We've seen our king's power displayed in chapters 8 and 9 as he's healed a leper, restoring them not just physically, but relationally to their people. He's caused blind men to see, deaf people to hear. He's raised the dead. He's cast out demons. Our king's power has been displayed in healing every disease and every affliction. So this verse is Matthew's way of kind of wrapping up what we've heard, and now we're about to transition to the rest of this section of Matthew. And what we're going to see is not just our king's power, but we're about to see our king's perspective in verse 36. Look at that with me. It says, when he, that's Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I want us to see our king's perspective here. First, he sees the crowd. And they're not a frustration. They're not a frustration. They're not people to be frustrated at. They're people to be loved and cared for. He sees the crowd. Now, this crowd has been following Jesus from the beginning of his ministry, but it's growing and growing as news of his teaching and miracles begin to spread around this community. Jesus sees the crowd. He sees them. And not only does he see them, not only does he see the crowd, but he sees their condition. Look at the verse 36. He says, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now that word harassed is an interesting word. It means to be weary. It means to be exhausted. It means to lose heart. He's talking about those who are tired from the reality of living in a broken world. Jesus sees them. He sees them. People who are tired and weary. Helpless is an interesting word. It's the passive voice of a word that means to throw away. It was used of fishing. Like if your net got all mangled or your line got all tangled and you just cut the line and let it sink, that's this word. And Jesus sees the crowd and knows that they feel weary and exhausted and they feel like they've been thrown away. He sees them. He sees. And listen, before we move on from here, if that's you today, if you feel weary and exhausted, like you've just been thrown away by the world, I want you to know Jesus sees. He sees you. And he cares for you. We're going to get to that in a moment. Jesus sees the crowd. He sees that they're harassed and that they're helpless. And he says, and he gives a phrase that describes the reason. He says, like sheep without a shepherd. So this crowd, they're weary, they're exhausted, they feel thrown away like they didn't matter. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, if you know anything about sheep, which I don't, I've seen them. I've never had to deal with sheep before in my life. But my understanding is that a sheep without a shepherd is someone who's defenseless. A sheep is defenseless. They don't know how to find their own food. They are in danger. Sheep need a shepherd to care, to feed, to protect, and to know them. And Jesus says this crowd is harassed, weary, and tired. They feel thrown away like garbage because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Now, Jesus seems to be echoing the effects of Ezekiel 34. Okay, so turn over to Ezekiel 34. That's in the Old Testament. And I want us to hear what God is declaring through Ezekiel to his old covenant people. And I want us to see how that's showing up here in Matthew. Okay, so Ezekiel is a prophet in the Old Testament, and God is speaking to Ezekiel to speak to his people of that day. Chapter 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. So God is speaking through Ezekiel to the leaders of his people saying, you're not doing your job. And he goes on to say what that is. The weak you have not strengthened, The sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Do you hear Jesus' words here in Ezekiel 34? Jesus says that the crowd is weary and tired and exhausted, like garbage that's been thrown away, like sheep without a shepherd. And so in Ezekiel 34, the Lord pronounces judgment on these false shepherds. He says, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths that they may not be food for them." In other words, God is saying to these shepherds who are not taking care of the sheep that have been entrusted to them, "I'm coming." And God is going to bring judgment on these shepherds who have not cared for sheep. Now, as one of the shepherds at this church that God has called to shepherd this people, and this is a chilling idea, it's an important reminder for everyone who's called to shepherd God's flock, that these are God's people, that our role as pastors is to care for the people that God has placed under our care, to lay down our lives for them. Now, Paul also says in Acts 20, pay careful attention to yourselves. So there's a call for pastors to do that, but that's so that they can care for the flock. And as one of the pastors here, and I say that a lot because it's true, okay? One of the things we value here at Exodus is that we do not have one pastor here. We have a team of pastors. The Bible word for that is plurality. So we have a team of pastors that God has called to lead here in our church. And I want to say something about those men. We are not perfect men, and no one knows that better than we do, okay? But I'm so honored to serve Jesus alongside these men. They sacrifice and they serve Jesus so that the sheep of Exodus can be served. And I want to ask you to pray for our pastors. I want to ask you to pray for any pastors you know. Like if you know a pastor, I just want to ask you to pray for them. But particularly, I want to ask you to pray for ours. Because we will stand before God for how we have cared for his sheep. We'll give an account for how we have shepherded you. And that's a chilling idea. And so I want to ask you to pray for us. I want to ask you to pray for us. Now, back in Matthew 9, okay, Jesus sees what Ezekiel seems to be describing. He sees the people. They are like sheep without a shepherd. They are weary. They are exhausted. They feel thrown away like they don't matter. And I want you to see what that does to Jesus in verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion. Now, this word is one of my favorite Greek words. It's the word splachna, which sounds Russian, but it's Greek, okay? It's splachna. It's this idea that is compassion is mercy or pity that leads to action. And this word is actually connected to bowels, like guts, okay? And so when it says that Jesus had compassion, it's this love, this mercy that kind of comes up from the depth of who he is and produces action. The other thing that's really interesting to me about this word is that it is only used of Jesus to describe him or by Jesus in the parables. So like with the parable of the prodigal son, when it says the father was filled with compassion, same word, splachna. It says here that Jesus was, it says, he had compassion for them. Now, this is a mercy that leads to action. Now, the action it leads to in this passage is prayer. He says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The action that is happening here in this passage is Jesus sees, he feels compassion, and then he calls us to prayer. Eventually, this compassion is going to get him all the way to the cross, where he, our shepherd, will lay down his life for the sheep. But here, our king's perspective, that he sees the crowd, he knows they're weary and tired and feel thrown away. He knows they don't have shepherds. And so he commands us to pray. We see that in verse 37. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, the metaphor has changed from shepherding to farming, okay? It goes from like sheep without a shepherd to the harvest is plentiful. Look, he's saying this, the harvest is plentiful. In John 4:35, it says, the fields are white, ready for harvest. Jesus wants them to see there are plenty of people around you who feel harassed. There are plenty of people around you who feel weary and exhausted and tired. There are plenty of people around you who feel helpless, like trash thrown away. The harvest is plentiful. He wants the disciples to see what's around. And he says the laborers are few. The kind of shepherds that God's people need are few, he says. Now, it takes all kinds of laborers in this harvest. We're going to get to that in a moment. But Jesus says they're harassed like sheep without a shepherd. Therefore, pray earnestly that God would send laborers into his harvest field. Incidentally, real quick, this is one of the reasons we're excited about the Orchard Initiative. You've heard about this. It's more than just purchasing these houses over here next to our parking lot. It's about this vision to see Exodus train, develop, and launch pastors and planters to lead faithful and fruitful churches because the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. And so we're excited. We want to be a part of Jesus. We want to be a part of the answer to Jesus' call to prayer here. And we believe that will be part of that. But again, these laborers are more than pastors here. Jesus wants him to pray that there would be laborers because the harvest is plentiful. And now I want us to see his command in verse 38. Therefore, because of all those things, people are tired, people feel thrown away, they're like sheep without a shepherd, the harvest is plentiful, laborers are few, therefore, pray. And not just pray, pray earnestly. This is the only time this word is used in the book of Matthew. Pray earnestly. The word means to beg, it means to plead. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I want us to see who we're praying to. We're praying to the Lord of the harvest. The harvest belongs to him. It's his harvest. It's not ours, it's his. He says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers into his harvest. And so we're praying to the one who owns the harvest, who bears responsibility for the harvest, who cares more about the harvest than we do. And we pray. We pray specifically that he would send out laborers into his harvest field. So how do we apply this? Well, it should not be lost on us that this command to pray that God would send out laborers is followed by Jesus sending out his disciples. Jesus says to the disciples, pray, very next passage, go. And so as we think about how we apply this section, we need to understand as we pray that you might be the answer to your prayer. As you pray, God, send out workers. we might be the answer to our prayer. Now, very often when we read this, we think, Lord, send out workers, someone else, somewhere else. That's how we think about this, right? Lord, send them. It's not here I am, Lord, send me. It's there they are, Lord, send them. And yet Jesus tells his disciples in one verse, pray, and then the next passage, go. So we need to be prepared that we might be the answer to our prayer. And the reason Jesus wants us to pray is because the harvest is plentiful. There are plenty of people around us who feel exhausted, weary, and tired. Like the promises of the world have left them really tired. The promise of money, the promise of power, the promise of fame, the promise of success, the promise of having the right people like you, and they've spent money they don't need to impress people they don't like. And so they're tired. There are people all around us who are weary and exhausted. There are people all around us who feel like garbage that's been thrown away. They feel like the world just used them up and threw them out. There are people all around us like that. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful in our community. Listen, you can't drive around this area without seeing new houses being built. And before the houses are being built, those little white pipes are sticking out of the ground. Every time I see those, I think John 4:35. The fields are white. I'm serious. Because every one of those pipes represent a home where an image bearer will live who needs Jesus. Every one of them. Harvest is plentiful in our community. And maybe we don't like the traffic, and maybe we don't like all these things that are the result of more houses being built, but there are people moving here who need Jesus. The harvest is plentiful. Harvest is plentiful in our church. But we got lots of new faces around here. Lots of new faces who need to be cared for. We've got lots of new people who need to find their place to belong, who need to find their part to play. And we are part of that harvest, of working that harvest to help people get connected here and feel a part. Listen, one of the primary leaders, laborers that we need to be praying for right now are community group leaders. Right now, we've got about 15 groups. Pastor Tyler is working faithfully and working hard in his team. They're working to see more groups launched. We probably need 24 groups so that people at Exodus can be properly cared for. And I just want to ask you to pray. Pray that God would send out laborers into the harvest field. And we need to be open to be the answer to that prayer. And then there are a lot of other ways to serve. We need people to serve on the greeting team. That's a really important area, and it's not hard. You have to smile and point. Perhaps speak. You know what I mean? Like, we need greeters. And if you're a greeter, man, thank you. It's incredible. People will decide if they're coming back before a note of music is played or a line of a sermon is preached. And they decide because you're kind to them. We need people to serve on our security team. We need people to serve with children and teenagers. There are lots of different ways for people to serve in our church. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Now, in the seat in front of you, there's a card that says, put me in, coach. Okay? It's blue, Jaguar blue, I think. It might be Panther. I'm not sure. On the other side, it's got a QR code that will get you to all the different ways you might serve in our church, okay? Now, some of those ways to serve are reserved for members. Some of those are reserved for people who've been through various training and assessments. I hope you understand those things. But there are a lot of ways people can serve at our church. And if you call Exodus home, we want you to find your part to play. We want you to find where God has called and placed you to serve here in this church. And as you pray for laborers to go out in the harvest field, I want to remind you that you might be the answer to your prayer. Now, it could be that you are like really resonating with this whole harvest metaphor. Like, yes, put me in, coach. Like, put me in the field. I'm ready to get in the game. It may be, though, that you're more connecting with this whole harassed and helpless idea. That you're not really ready to serve because you feel weary exhausted, thrown away. And some of that you feel because of things done to you. Some of things, perhaps you feel that because of things done by you. And all this talk about being a worker in the harvest field, you're like, man, I did not come here for a job. I came here for hope. And my greatest hope for you, if that's you today, is that you would experience this church as a place where you can not just hear the gospel declared, but experience it demonstrated to you. Where you would not just hear people tell you about Jesus, but that you would experience people demonstrating Jesus to you. And if you're here and you feel all those weary, tired, exhausted, thrown away things, I want you to know, Jesus has not thrown you away. In fact, he stepped out of eternity as our shepherd to step into this world to pursue those the world had thrown away. And he died for those who feel weary and exhausted for things done by them and things done to them. He died so that our sin could be forgiven and we could be made part of his family. And so if maybe you're identifying with this whole harvest metaphor and you're ready to go get it, maybe you're identifying with this harassed reality. And what I want both of us to know is that we have a shepherd who sees, who knows, and who loved us so much that he came to lay down his life in our place so that we could belong to him. And so, whether you're ready to be a part of his work in the harvest field or whether you feel, man, I just need a shepherd to care for me right now, we have a good king. His name is Jesus. He's strong, he's powerful, he's tender, he's full of compassion. And he died and rose again so that we could belong to him. Let's pray together. Father God, you are a good God who loves us more than we could fathom. And Lord, I pray that as we consider your goodness and your greatness, as we consider the reality of what you're inviting us into, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be filled with hope because of who you are and what you've done. Lord, you are our shepherd. You're our good shepherd. You take care of us. Goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our lives because you are our good shepherd. Help us remember that. And Lord, for many of us, we want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. We want to be a part of this harvest being brought in. And Lord, we want to submit to you as Lord of the harvest. We want you to send us into your harvest so that we might live lives that honor you and that ripple into eternity. So Lord, would you meet with us, whether we feel broken or whether we feel excited, whether we feel exhausted or whether we feel energized. Lord Jesus, would you meet with us? Would you meet with us so that we might know our good shepherd today? And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.